Thank you, Gloria, so much. Thank you, Dr. Scoville, for arranging all the good music and the programming this week. I don't know what I'd do without him. I just tell him what I like, and he just puts it all together. And that's a blessing, and I rejoice in his ministry here. And I thank the Lord for each missionary. Thank the Lord for just the way God has put this conference together. And he really has. God's done it. I'm just excited about that. I want tonight to have you turn. I want to look at a character tonight of Scripture by the man by the name of Barnabas, a man with a heart for missions. I really want you to turn, and they're going to look at four different thoughts in the life of Barnabas tonight. So I want you to go to Acts chapter 4, be the first one. And as we do so, we're going to see Barnabas, who had a devoted heart to God. And if you're going to have a heart for missions, you've got to have a heart of devotion. And when I come over here to this chapter, in chapter 4, as the early church got started, the Bible says here, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart." I like that. That's what our church always must be. Here, you can't have a heart for missions unless you have a heart that is unified. "And out of a soul, neither said any of them that out of the things which he possessed was of his own, but they had all things common." There's no selfishness, no spirit of selfishness there. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or of houses sold them and brought the price of those things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas." I underline that name because it's a name that made other people famous. He had a ministry of making other people successful. That name, by the way, says, "which being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus." And then that name Barnabas, it comes from the same Greek word we get the word comforter, a parakletos, which means called alongside to help. And you know, that's exactly what Maranatha Baptist Church is all about when it comes to missions. We've called alongside to help these missionaries. That's what the missions is all about. We're called alongside to help these missionaries. And it says, "having land," verse 37, "sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Now, he had a heart of true devotion to God. And again, in that name, and he was devoted to the cause of Christ. I was thinking of the Holy Spirit's ministry. You know, the Holy Spirit never promotes himself. And you will find that Barnabas, as you go through the book of Acts in your spare time, you will discover that Barnabas really never promotes himself. He was happy to promote Saul. He was Paul. He was happy to promote John Mark. He was happy to promote others, but he never promoted himself. Now that's a real man with a heart of devotion. And there are three statements. Two of them are found in this chapter. In verse 33, you have the first two, and then you go over to chapter 5, and you look at verse 5, you have the third statement that I think that is a picture of what does it mean when we say someone is devoted? What do we think about devotion? And this man had a heart for mission because he had a heart of devotion. And I want you to notice these three statements here. The Bible tells us, "and with great power," verse 33, it doesn't just say "with power," "gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and great grace." And I draw your attention, great grace was upon them all. Now, when I look at those two statements, and then I go over there to chapter 5 and look at verse 5, it talks about great fear. Now, notice it doesn't say just power, it doesn't say just grace, it doesn't say fear, it just says great. That word great is mega, mega, big. And when I think, first of all, of great power, what is great power? What would we say that made Barnabas an illustration? What is great power? It is serving the Lord with the right motive. I want you to think about that. You know, a lot of times I prayed, I'm sure you have prayed, and I pray for these missionaries, that the power of God would be on them. Do you ever pray that? But you know, you have to stop and think, what's the motive behind that power? For example, if you take over just a few chapters later in chapter 8, you find the case of Simon the sorcerer. Remember him? Over there in the 8th chapter. And when he saw the power of God upon Philip and upon others, we find in verse, upon Peter and others, he said in verse 18, look at this. And when Simon saw the through laying on of hands, when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also, what? This power. Now, there was something wrong with his motive, wasn't it? And I oftentimes wonder why we want the power of God on us. And I think if you're going to talk about truly devotion here, great power is serving the Lord with the right motive. You want it so that you could do a work for God. And I say to our missionaries tonight that this church needs to pray for you, that the power of God will be upon you, but it's up to you to have the right motive. You aren't, pardon my grammar, you ain't going to get the power if you don't have the right motive. And I think we have to be careful when we pray for this power that we want from God. I know I want that power upon me, but sometimes how easy it is when the power of God is upon us. And I've sensed that so many times, but there have been times I've watched that power withdrawn at a point because I was getting the credit instead of him. And if he doesn't get the credit for the power, then we have the wrong motive. And so the very first thought here, what is devotion? What does it mean to be devoted to God? I pray tonight that we'll all have great power. Our missionaries, our church will have great power, but we'll have the right motive to do what we're doing. We don't need any of the praise or the applaud. We need to give it to God. And then secondly, we find not only that great power, which is serving the Lord with the right motive, but then he said great grace. What is great grace? It is seeing life from God's viewpoint. Think that one through for a moment. Now here we see great power is serving. Now we see great grace is seeing, but seeing life from God's viewpoint. You know, the average Christian sees life from his own viewpoint. How do I know that? How many times have you and I heard this or thought this? Life is not, say it with me, fair. From a human viewpoint, life is not fair. But great grace is seeing life not from a human viewpoint, but it is seeing life from God's viewpoint. And when you see life from God's viewpoint, first of all, you have an attitude of gratitude. And when you have an attitude of gratitude, you are thanking God for everything that you have. You are praising him for that instead of saying, how come he has this and I don't have that? How come I don't have more? How come I'm in debt? Or how come I have this, poor health, whatever the thing may be? It is time, if you want to see great grace in our lives, we've got to say, God, we need to have an attitude of gratitude. Say, Lord, thank you no matter what. Attitude of gratitude. Then what I only see here in that great grace, which is seeing life from God's viewpoint, not only an attitude of great grace, an attitude of gratitude, but it's a giving gratitude. Would you mark this verse, and if you want to follow with me, go to 1 Chronicles for just a moment, chapter 29 in your Bibles. You'll see what I mean here. For when I come over here to chapter 29, here is the King David, he's about ready to die. And he talks about the only thing that is on his mind is the work of God. Isn't that good? That ought to be the thing that's on our mind when we're ready to die. And he wanted to see the house of God built, the glorious temple that he wanted to see built. He never lived to see that, but he planned to give toward it even before he died. But then when I come down here to a verse that I have highlighted in my Bible, and I tell you, if you, I highlight it because I believe it. I want it to stand out for me. It says in verse 14 of chapter 29. Here's David. He said, but who am I? Isn't that a good thought? Who am I? What is my... Who are we? We're just, without Christ, nothing. Who am I? What is my people that we should be able to offer? Paul, and so willingly after this sort, here he had a man that wanted to give to God, and he said, who am I that God would give to me? And then he says, for all things, and then would you, after he asked that question, he said, for all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. We haven't given God a thing. We've only given what he already gave us in the first place. Sometimes I think when we give to missions, or even give of our tithe, we have the idea that we're giving of our own money. It's not ours, it's his. Don't miss the verse. He said, for all things come of thee, and of thy own have we given thee. And so we not only need to have an attitude of gratitude, but we need to have a giving attitude. It didn't belong to me anyway. I mean, it's not mine. God gave it to me. And we need to be thankful. And David was saying, Lord, I can't believe you gave me what I have so I can give it back to you. That's what we ought to approach missions. We ought to approach it with an attitude of, Lord, thank you that you gave me enough that I can give back. Instead of what we do, you know, here, there's two attitudes of giving, you know, or this idea, you know, God gives to us and we stick it in our pockets. What we need to do is empty our pockets and give it back to God. That's what that verse is teaching, because God has been so good to us. And so here it is. We see that great, great power, serving the Lord with the right attitude, right motive, and then seeing life from God's viewpoint, an attitude of gratitude and a giving attitude. And I find so many God's people who will not give the missions because they think all that extra money they have, and they say, well, you don't know how much extra I have. God knows how much extra we have. In fact, he knows better than you know. I have a feeling if some of us would just cut back on some of the frivolous things we really don't need, we would find that God would want us to give that to missions. Somebody say amen or oh my, because I believe it's true. I'm not going any further until somebody says amen. Amen. Thank you. I thought three amens. Don't be afraid of giving to God. Thirdly, as you come back to our passage there in Barnabas, he had a heart of devotion, and as he gave, and notice he had property, just sold it. Gave it away. But I only see this great power in serving the Lord with the right motive and great grace and seeing life from God's viewpoint. But I see, thirdly, great fear, which is submitting to God with the right spirit. That's what fear is. That's what the fear of God is, submitting to God with the right spirit. You may ask the question, does that mean we should be afraid of God? You better believe you better be afraid of God. It's a holy fear. It's a reverential fear. It's a fear that says, listen, you know, God knows what is best. And you ought to be afraid to step out of the will of God tonight. And you ought to be afraid not to give, listen to me, you ought to be afraid not to give the faith promise. You ought to fear that. Are you trying to scare me into giving? No, if the Holy Ghost doesn't do it, I cannot do it. But I tell you tonight, I would be afraid not to give to missions. I have children that are on the mission field and grandchildren, and I thank God for them. And I just, even before they went to the field, I was just frightened not to give to missions. Frightened in my own spirit that I had given so much. And they have so little. And I thank the Lord. I don't know, most missionaries have more days left at the end of the paycheck. And they don't have enough money. I thought about these making trip to Brazil and coming back here. That costs money. You didn't get that one free, did you? No. God is so good. So here we see a heart of devotion that this man had, great grace. Seeing life from God's viewpoint, great power, serving the Lord with the right motive, and a great fear, submitting to God with the right spirit. Say, Lord, if this is what you want for me, I ask you, I beg with you tonight, please pray what God would have you give. Don't be afraid not to. Say, well, I'm afraid he'll... I actually had somebody tell me one time, I'm afraid to pray about what to give. I'm afraid he'll have me give more than I want to give. Hey, come on, let's get honest. That can happen. But secondly, as I look at Barnabas here, really a man with a heart for missions, I only see him as a heart of devotion, but certainly Barnabas had a heart for discipleship. A heart for discipleship. I turn over there to the 9th chapter, if you will, in the book of Acts. And you remember in that wonderful chapter, you have here the conversion of the Saul who became the great apostle Paul. And when I look at that chapter, as you know, I love this chapter because Paul really had a conversion experience that I just love to read about. Somebody said, oh, Paul had there when he fell off the horse, it was hot that day and he had a sunstroke. I said, amen, the Son of God struck him down and saved his soul. And then if you come over here to verse 25 of chapter 9, and of course you read these verses, you'll see Paul's wonderful conversion experience. But then you come down in verse 25, said, then the disciples took him, that's Paul, by night, and led him down by the wall into a basket. That had been a humiliating experience for a man with great pride and great dignity. And then Paul says, the Bible says in verse 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, now between verse 25 and verse 26, it's about 3.5 years. You need to get the time on this. There's about 3.5 years between verse 25 and 26. What did Paul do? He went to college. He went out in the Arabian desert, and God was his teacher. Listen to me, God's got to be the teacher. And why he was there, and it says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. You ever have someone, and I'm these missionaries, and I hope you've seen in your life people saved, and people say, who got saved? I know him. Oh, did he really get saved? Isn't it amazing how they really question somebody who really gets saved? As though, I got news for you. It took as much God's grace to save you as it did Saul. I mean, there's no difference here, but we have a tendency today that somebody with this type of lifestyle certainly was too bad to be saved. We're all pretty bad to be saved. And then Bibles verse 26 says, but when Saul was come to him, Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. And then verse 27, but Barnabas, I like that. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how he had seen the Lord in the way. And so we see here this man saw something in Saul. I pray today for this church that we will see in people what Barnabas saw in people. He saw here was a man that God was going to use. Now, I think he probably was the only one there to believe God was going to use this guy. And I appreciate the fact that he had a heart for discipleship. You know what discipleship is? It's the act of making someone successful for God. That's what discipleship is all about. It's the act of making someone successful for God. For example, if you go over there with the same fellow, you go to chapter 13 when you have the first missionary sent out. You come down here to chapter 13 and you look at verse 2, and it's very important that you notice the order of names here. Here's the first missionary sent out, and the Bible says in verse 2, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, who? Who? Barnabas and Saul. Now, Barnabas' name had a right to be first before Saul because, after all, he was discipling him. He'd been a Christian longer. He was not only a devoted man, he had great power and great grace and great fear. But then when I come over here to chapter 15, a few chapters later, look at verse 2. I'm going to read it wrong. Look at verse 2. And when therefore Barnabas and Paul, is that what it says? Whose name is first? Paul's name's first, not Barnabas. You start out with Barnabas' name first, but I want to tell you something. Old Barnabas was willing to just step back and let God make, he helped to make Paul successful. That, by the way, is what missions is all about. is not only just winning them, but making them successful for the Lord. He just stepped back, and here's Paul's name is now twice there in this verse. You read the rest, you'll find most of the times it's Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas, not Barnabas and Paul. There's not a jealous bone in that guy's heart. Not one. And I pray for our missionaries that you'll see this. A lot of times I've had some young men in our church that God called to preach, and somebody came to me one day and said, "Man, he's a great preacher." And I said, "He preached better than me. He scares me to death." Kidding with him. I'm glad when someone can preach better than me. I'm glad that somebody can do a work better. I hope you feel that way. How important that is. Thirdly, he not only had a heart for a devotion, but a heart for discipling people, but he had a heart of discernment. A heart of discernment. And when I come over here to the 11th chapter, and when I come to that chapter in the book of Acts, here again, they have the church at Jerusalem. I like our brother here is going to move to another place to what? Start a church. And it's great when we see churches started. Amen. That's what missions is all about. Once your daughter and son-in-law get the language down, that'll be their goal down the line, to start some churches. Hallelujah. Start a church. Hallelujah. Started with six, and they're bursting out of their building. They need a new building. And pray for them. And so they're going to start a church at Antioch. And then the Bible says, verse 19, "And when they were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose after Stephen, about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word for none but of the Jews only. Some of them was men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spoke unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus, and the hand of the Lord was upon them." Something was happening in Antioch. The Bible says in verse 22, "The tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they said, we know we got to have sent somebody there to start a church." I don't think they prayed much about it at all. They said, who? What's the text say? Barnabas. Why? Because Barnabas had a heart of devotion. Barnabas had a heart of discipling people. And he had a heart of discernment, as you're going to see in the text. He was the kind of person that needed to be there. And verse 22, "and sent forth that he should go as far as Antioch." And I like here, I want you to take a couple notes here. "Who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all with purpose of heart." Now the word purpose is a word which means to set a plan in motion. And Barnabas came up with a plan how to start a church there. And God gave him that vision for that, and he was able to do that. He set a plan and put a plan in motion. And then he says to himself, who should we get to help me? Guess who he got. What's the next verse say here? And verse 25, "Then they departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul." Now, if you check the chronology, you'll find he hadn't seen Paul for 8 years. But he goes back and he gets Paul. And he said, you know, that's what missions is all about. And they work together. And then you come down here as verse 29 and 30. Now, excuse me, verse 26, I'm sorry. "And when he found him," verse 26, "he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. And he taught the people much of him." Disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I like that. You knew who called them Christians first? They didn't call themselves Christians. It was the people outside the church. The unsaved people said, these people are Christians. Christ-like. And then the Bible tells us here in verse 27, "In those days came a prophets from Jerusalem and Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. And then the disciples," and I believe they did this under the hand of Barnabas, "every man according to his ability determined to send relief into the brethren which dwelt in, and which also they did." Now get this, they did what they determined to do. That's what it means there. And my prayer is, are we determined to see more given to missions, then let's do it. These missionaries need our relief, our help, our love. Fourthly and finally, Barnabas had a heart of devotion, a heart for discipling people, a heart for discernment, and certainly had a heart of determination. When I go over there to that 15th chapter of the book of Acts, we find over here in verse 36 that Paul said to Barnabas one day, he said, you know, we just need to take another mission trip and we need to go back and check out the churches we started. I'm in chapter 15. And let's go again and visit the brethren in every city where we had preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now, if you'll go back to chapter 13 in your spare time in verse 13, you know that John Mark left the field. And then there's a word determined. It is only used here. It's an interesting word. It means to receive counsel. I believe that Barnabas received counsel from God, that there was something in John Mark that Paul didn't see. He said, I'm just not going to give up on him. And my prayer is that we don't give up on our missionaries. They aren't perfect. I know that one's not, because he married my daughter. And I know she's not perfect. I was kidding her. I said, I've been having a little time with Kaylin when Marilyn and I had her together. But there's two of us. And she reminds me so much of my daughter when she was that age. And it's in the genes. It's the sin nature of all of us. You heard what I said the other day. She's a female Dennis the Menace. But she's okay. I love her to death. But I'm glad God saw something in you too. Something in you. I see something in them that God is going to use. And if we do not give, and I won't say it dogmatically, if we do not give the faith promise and support our missionaries, then we have Paul's attitude, not Barnabas' attitude. Because we're the means to help see that they fulfill what God wants for their life. Matter of fact, you mean you think Paul was wrong? Yeah, I know Paul was wrong. You know how I know that? He admitted in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, bring with me who? John, because why? He's profitable. I love that. I pray tonight that God would you. We're going to have the cards tomorrow night. You know, I'm going to ask you, and I've been told this. I've been told that you have to, you almost like pulling teeth. Am I not on? Did I not turn it on? I didn't? I don't know why. I can't get it out of my pocket. We got the cards, and I'm told that a lot of you just don't want to hand them in. How are we going to know what to do in our mission program if we don't have these cards? These cards are vital. And so I pray that we'll get, every family will take that card and say, look, no, you don't put, we don't want your name. Just want you to put down there what you believe God's going to have you to give. You know why? We need to have a heart for missions, even as Barnabas had a heart for mission. Let's stand together.